Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Lead a pin podcast with Dan and Scott. Hottest golf podcast, whether you like it or not. Fresh from back in the day when that's a put at the park. 7 a.m. p.m. special where they played after dark. From the birdies to the focus to the losses and the win. Welcome podcast, patron to the show. Lead a pin, get busy golfing or get busy dying. Hottest golf podcast and I swear I ain't lying. Yeah. Leave the pin.
Welcome back, podcast patrons. Another episode of Leave the Pin podcast. As always, I'm your host, Dan. Episode 215. I got Brandon from New Nine Golf. To talk a myriad of things within the golf world. But first off, Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me on, man. 215, that's a lot of episodes. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it is. It's crazy because I look back at times and I'm like, oh, man, I still love doing it, you know? But yeah, 215 is a lot, dude. It's like, you know, this is year five for us. So it's a long time going.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. That's wicked. Hey.
My whole thing is like, I just thought at this point in time, people would stop listening, you know, but if people are going to keep listening, I'll keep doing it.
Love it, man. Love it.
All right. So Brandon, first off, where are you tonight? Obviously you're at home, but where's home?
I am at home. Well, it's funny you ask, cause I feel like I haven't been home for a while. I've been traveling a lot, but home for me is just north of Calgary, Alberta. I'm in a little city called Airdrie. So for your U.S. listeners, Calgary would be just north of Montana, about 3 hours north of Montana. We're actually having a pretty warm week, but I still see snow in my backyard. So unfortunately, it's not golf weather out here, but we just had a spell a couple weeks ago, and it was minus 40. And minus 40 translate from Celsius to Fahrenheit is the exact same. So it was actually warmer in my freezer than it was outside. So our winters can get pretty harsh. We only have about a 6-month golf season. I got some travel coming up. I'm headed to Waste Management, Phoenix next week, and then down to Mexico for some golf. So for me, being a golf content creator and you know, obviously loving golf, I need to get away in the winter. And unfortunately, I just can't golf as much as I would like to at home here in Calgary.
You know, I'm gonna shut my mouth because I complain to our listeners and my followers a bunch. I live in Northeast PA, so my golf season is about 9.5-10 months because I'm a golf sicko. And if it's 20 degrees and windy, I'm outside and I'm playing. My course lets me on, you know, which is cool. But to hear that, I'm gonna shut up from now on. You have put me in my place. That's cold, bro. Like, that's real cold.
It is, man. Like our golf season is like, end of, if you can get to Halloween, that's pretty good, but it's okay. Usually closing like middle of October, opens kind of middle of May. So it's like, it's really like a 6-month game, 7 months if you can stretch it. But
now, is it one of those things where you're getting a ton of snow, or is it just so brutally cold that you just can't even get out on the course?
We can, man. Like we can get a lot of snow. Typically snow covers the course for like 6 months or 5 months. We've had like an uncharacteristically warm winter. Where I live too, we're in the Rocky Mountains, so we're a lot like Colorado. So we get something that's called a Chinook. So a Chinook is a warm wind post over the mountains, and it'll heat up. So we'll have a day where it's, you know, minus 15, minus 20, and then the next day it's like 3-4 degrees, which would be like 72. So it's like 20 degree swings, 30 degree swings just over a couple day period. But yeah, I typically see snow all winter. So it's, if you like skiing, it's awesome. But if you like golf, you know, we got a lot of people that migrate south for the winter.
Yeah, not the greatest environment for that. I would be remiss. I'm going to get called out. I have a very small section of fan base that are into wrestling as well. So let me just say this real quick. You are from an area where Lance Storm, an ex-ECW wrestler, is from. His tagline was from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So I just want to throw that out there, because when people hear that, And that's the first thing I hear in my mind. I don't know if you know who that is. Probably
it's
not.
So it's funny like, that you called Lance Storm as the token Calgary wrestler. That's hilarious. I know Lance Storm. The biggest guy that most people would know would be Bret the Hitman Hart.
Bret Hart. Right? Yeah, for sure.
The Hart family's from here. It's so funny that you say wrestling. My dad's a huge wrestling fan. My dad moved from Toronto to Calgary because he was a huge wrestling fan. They had Stampede Wrestling, loved the Hart, the Hart Foundation, the Dynamite Kid, Davey Boy Smith, you know, Stu Hart. My dad used to take me to the Hart House when I was a kid, and we'd go down into the dungeon and he'd have wrestlers flying around the rings. Like some of my early childhood memories are, you know, wrestlers throwing me into a wrestling ring in a backyard during summertime and me thinking I'm just going to get the shit kicked out of me by a bunch of wrestlers and they're just toying with like a little 5-6 year old. But yeah, shout out to all those wrestling fans. That's hilarious. I didn't know you had some wrestling fan listeners.
Neither did I, but I posted something one time. They run a promotion called Battlefield Pro Wrestling right by me. It's literally run out of the event center of the gym that I work out in. I happen to know the guy that runs it. He's actually Afa's son. It's Afa Jr. Of the Samoan dynasty. So, you know, Reigns is a cousin. The Rock is a cousin. The Rock went to high school in our area here. So it's real big. It's wild, you know, once you meet people in that business. But I had posted something about going to an indie show and like 20, 30 people are like, dude, you're into wrestling too? I'm like, what? How are you into golf and wrestling? This is nuts. And I think that's one of the things that makes this, you know, so fun to do these kind of long form podcasts. That's hilarious, dude. Yeah, Jericho trained there as well.
That you mentioned The Rock, because The Rock actually tried out for our Canadian Football League team. In Canada, we have the CFL, which is similar type of football to the NFL, but it's three downs, wider field, shorter field. But the Rock actually tried out for the Calgary Stampeders, and he got cut. So imagine what his life would look like had he made the team and slummed it in the CFL. But I think things worked out for him.
Hey, look, we're going to get to golf, obviously, but is Canadian football big up there? Like, do you guys care about it? Or do you guys watch the NFL more?
No, personally, I don't. I would way rather watch the NFL. Okay. I'm submerged in playoffs. I bet NFL. I watch NFL usually every Sunday. Buy some tickets. We'll bet on some games, do some parlays. CFL, I don't care. I think it's like an older generation thing. Like, I think like my dad or even my grandfather's age, they would appreciate the CFL a little bit more. I think it's hokey, and like the product is sometimes subpar, but saying that, there's some fantastic athletes that make a long-term career. One of my good buddies was a quarterback for the CFL for a long time, Bo Levi Mitchell. He's a big golfer, so we kind of share that passion, but it's you know, you'd have to watch it to see, but it's funky when you see two downs and then someone's kicking. You're like, where, you know, that the fourth down is you take it for granted when you watch CFL.
Now, I'm not ignorant on too many things, but that is something I commit. I definitely have an ignorance towards. The league is fully functioning. Like, it runs every year. It's been going in perpetuities, you know, so far.
Yeah, it's never, as far as I know, there hasn't been a lockout. There's, I don't know how many teams there are. Maybe there's 8 teams off the top of my head. I'm not sure, but it's okay. Like, it's not bad. We have some, you know, there's a rival team just north of us, but where I am, the biggest sport is hockey. Like, being Canadian, we love our hockey. That's huge. It's a religion out here. So there's a lot bigger hockey fan base than there would be CFL fan base, but the league's still going. So someone's watching it.
That's interesting. Like, I love learning stuff like that. So who would be your NFL team? Would it be Denver? Would it be Minnesota?
You know what? I don't really have one team. I was a big Brady fan. I liked Brady. Okay. I like Gronk. I like Edelman. Like, I like that kind of era of the Pats. But really, I cheer for whoever I'm betting on, because I don't really have one team. I like throwing some wagers down so I could cheer for one team one week and then cheer against them the next week. So I play fantasy football. I'm always cheering for guys in my team. But yeah, I'm loyal to whoever I have some cashola on.
Understood. And speaking about that, I mean, you know, again, we'll get into the golf. You're a big time golfer, scratch golfer, run a golf media company, obviously big on YouTube and Instagram. But you also play poker. Now, is that professionally? Is that your full time gig? How does that work into your life?
No, yeah, I wish it was. Maybe I do and I don't some days. You know, I think any gamblers listening, it's always fun when you run good, but when you run bad, it sometimes feels like there's nothing worse in the world. I got into poker probably 2004. There was a hockey lockout. So I told you hockey's a religion. There was 1 year, there was a lockout. So the hockey or the NHL was on pause for a year. And they started showing poker on TV. So the World Series of Poker was like the biggest broadcast poker event. It runs all summer, and the winner took home $9 million. So to be a young, impressionable kid, I don't know how old I was in 2004, 12 years old, watching these guys play for big money, the first thing we all did was download like Poker Stars. So we're all on there playing for, you know, free money, but just to learn the game and understand. And then we got into high school, and our buddies, we like to play poker like every weekend. So we'd get together, have a home game, a little tournament, $20 a guy. The winner takes home, you know, $200 or whatever. And that was kind of the taste. And then we started to go to the casinos and started to play in there. I was sneaking into casinos when I was like 16. We had a fake ID that we all shared around. And over the years, it's just a game that I've always loved. So I'm a super competitive person. So I played high-level sports my whole life. Golf is obviously very competitive. When I play with my buddies or if I compete in tournaments. And poker is very similar. You know, there's a winner and a loser. So I think it really just gets my competitive juices going. It gets me thinking strategically. It's something like golf that you can always get better. I study the game. I take courses. I take lessons on poker. So for me, it's definitely not a full-time gig. I do have a full-time job. I do sales for a company still, plus owning this media company. But poker is something that is just, it allows me to have fun. I can just go play a tournament, play a cash game, kind of escape everything, be focused on that. And if you win a couple $100, it's fun. And if I lose, you know, I'm not risking the house or anything. I'm not missing a mortgage payment for playing poker. I recently played in a poker tournament. I had my biggest cash ever. There was a main event. This is just after Christmas. There was a big tournament in town, and the entry fee was like $1,500. And I've never paid $1,500 to enter in a tournament. Like that's pretty good cash, right? But they had these like qualifying tournaments. So for $150, you can play in these qualifiers. If you make it far enough in the qualifying stage, you get a free entry into this main event tournament. So I ended up playing 2 days in this qualifying tournament, made it through the qualifier, made it to the main event, and then I ended up cashing second in the main event for like $24,000. So that was my biggest cash by far. I pretty much turned, you know, $150 or $250, whatever the entry was, into a pretty big ticket. So it's been a good year so far. I got a winning year, but it's something that I'm equally passionate about. Maybe not as much as golf, but I have a lot of fun playing poker.
So I'm a real neophyte in this. So just explain this to me. I saw on a few of your Instagram stories and posts that like at certain times during the game, you had upwards of like $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. But the cash out, like you said, is like $24,000. So I'm assuming, are they giving you a pot of money each person that starts off the same, which is not related to your money, like what you have in the game itself, like your skin in the game? Is that right?
Yeah, so the way a tournament works is that everyone pays the same entry fee. So let's say you and I play in the same poker tournament, it costs $100 for us to enter. They then give you tournament chips. So the tournament chips at that point in time have no cash value. So everyone's starting stack would be, let's say, $30,000. So I pay $100, I get $30,000 in chips. You pay $100, you get $30,000 in chips. Tournaments, everyone starts with the exact same amount of money. So you'll have 100 chips, some 500 chips, 1,000 chips, 5,000 chips, and a 10,000 chip. So that's kind of how the tournament chip denominations work. And it's not until you get to like the final table when you're actually in the money that those chips are now worth money. Because if you go out in 10th spot, you might make $100. But if you go out in 9th, you make $400. So there's some math involved when you get that far. So that gets kind of confusing. That's kind of an advanced level thing. But yeah, for tournaments, it's really just like fake money.
Gotcha. Well, that's interesting. And it's funny because people ask me all the time, like, do you gamble on the golf course? Do you gamble? And I don't, you know, but I play the stock market. So I guess, you know, it's a different way of doing it. You know, it's just a different way. That's all.
Totally. Yeah. Calculated risk. I'm sure you do your research, which would be the same as, you know, figuring out flop. So yeah. But it's definitely more gambling. You're straight inside of a casino, I guess. So
yeah. Oh, that's awesome, dude. So you mentioned New Nine, the media company, which obviously you own. Talk to me a little bit about that. Like, how did that start up? When did you realize that you really have a talent for this kind of, you know, online media? Because you obviously do.
No, I appreciate it. Thanks for saying that. So New Nine started in like 2017. I really wanted to start a clothing company. I knew I wanted to be in golf. I worked in golf retail back when I was in junior high school. That's kind of where my love of golf started. I've always liked being involved in it. But the golf niche typically doesn't have like a huge pie paying salary gig. So I was trying to think of ways that I can immerse myself, even just as like a side hustle to make some extra cash, but still be involved in golf. So I wanted to make a clothing company. So I was looking at making like my own hats, t-shirts, hoodies, golf shirts, and I have no no manufacturing experience, but I thought I could learn. So this happened, and then I started coming up with some concepts, started drawing some designs and ready to order some merch, and COVID happened. So I lost my supply chain, shipping went kind of to the shit. So I'm kind of thinking, like, what could I do to keep relevant if I can't make clothing? So we decided to start to kind of go all in on social media. So we started the YouTube channel, Instagram, we started to be a lot more active on. So we tried to just build a community. So we knew kind of if we build a community, then hopefully there would be some demand for some merchandise or some golf stuff kind of in the long run. So then we started doing more focus on content. And then that, you know, some videos started to take off. And we thought, you know, we might have a shot at doing this potentially full time. I have a broadcasting background. I went to school for broadcast news in college. So I have a broadcasting diploma. Right out of college, I was working for Nikki Sixx, Motley Crue. Huh, so I had an internship in Los Angeles doing all his video work. So this is like the infancy of like Twitter, Facebook. I don't even think Instagram was around at the time, but I was doing all of the social media stuff. They were very kind of ahead of the curve. So I knew how to film. I knew how to edit. I knew how to look at audio. So I knew how to film other people's stuff. And I kind of just like turned the camera around and started to film our own type of stuff. So it's been a fun journey. And we always try to do something new. We try to double down on the stuff that works or that people are watching. But we're always trying new ideas to make content. So what started as wanting to be a golf company has kind of really just, or you know, a golf clothing company has turned into more of a media company. And we're okay with that direction.
Yeah, that's you never really know. It's kind of like a roller coaster, you know what I mean? It twists and turns, and who knows where you're going to end up at the end.
Yeah, clothing's tough. Clothing is so incredibly competitive. Like, it would be a full-time job just to try to be a profitable clothing company. We put time and effort into our media and building a following. And as you know, someone that's followed my journey for a while and they want, you know, a high quality hat, t-shirt, hoodie, golf shirt, whatever, then we have that for them. So we do a lot more focus on the media than the clothing sales, I guess.
Yeah, well, I didn't even know you guys did it, and I saw the shop on the Instagram, and I mean, it's real quality stuff. I mean, that one hoodie with the snake on is so I'm big into tattoos, and that has, you know, that air of kind of you know, kind of like a Nouveau American style tattoos. So that was, you know, that one was neat. It was cool to see. And
I appreciate.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, you said there's so many clothing brands in the golf space. Like, I can't tell you how many reach out to me and are like, oh, we'd love for you to wear this. And I'm like, well, I've got my sponsors. I like them. Like, I appreciate, you know what I mean? And then, you know, 6 months later, you go check on that Instagram page and like, they're gone, you know, just fly by night and everyone's trying to do the same thing. And all the polos look the same or the hoodies look the same or whatnot. And, you know, only a few are going to stick around. It's uber competitive.
It's so competitive. I just got back from the PGA show in Orlando, and to walk around, there must have been a mile of just clothing manufacturers. Yeah. And like 80% of them look the same, right? And yep. Then the ones that are doing really well and thriving are the ones that are totally different and doing stuff. So we were able to take kind of some mental notes, but I just thought, man, I would just dread being like another clothing apparel company here, that it's just like the more time I put into it, the more discouraged sometimes I feel about it. But you're right, it's such a competitive industry to be in.
Yeah, I've got a few very good friends in it, including some of our sponsors. And I mean, there's like literally five manufacturers over in China that everybody uses. So, you know, you see the same like wave polo from 40 different companies. It just has their logo on it. I mean, it's just, you know, at some point you've got to realize the market is like beyond saturated, and maybe your entry into the market is not through apparel.
100%. And when you start selling it, like, I thought I wanted to get into pro shops. So I look at my cost, I got to make a little bit, but then the pro shop wants to make like 50% margin. So Then your margin gets cut in half and you're like wheeling and dealing and busting your butt. At the end of the day, you might make like a couple $100. I'm like, that, I can't survive on that. So yeah, e-commerce is definitely the way to go. There's a lot that we can learn, but it's a tough game for sure, apparel.
So I'm a big music fan. I had a bunch of guys on the podcast that have been in bands and whatnot, this, that, and the other. Communicate with a bunch of them daily. It always amazes me how many musicians are into golf, and especially like how many hard rock musicians, and you're starting to see it cross over to rap. Country's always kind of been involved in it. You have any good Motley Crue stories?
Oh man, yeah, tons. It's funny that you say music. I play music too. That's one of my other hobbies. When I met my wife, I was drumming in a band, and I still play guitar a lot. I got electric drum kit. I love music. But a good Nikki Sixx story. He was just like the classic rock star. Like, everything that you want a rock star to be, he was exactly that. So I remember when I was working on the show, I was just the intern. So I had to do kind of like the grunt work stuff, you know, sure. Get there early, clean, set up, run errands. So Key Six would always want a Starbucks in the morning. So he'd come into the studio and he'd say, hey, can you go get my Starbucks? So he had a venti latte at 120 degrees and he'd always give me a $100 bill. He knew that the coffee was like $4.50, but every time he'd give me a $100 bill, I'm like, you don't have anything smaller than 100. Like, give me a 20 or a 10. But every day he maybe used 100. So I'd give him the whatever, the $93 back in change. And I don't know what happened to all those small bills, but every day was a new 100. So it was just like a classic rock star problem that he always had hundreds. There was another time I lived really close to the station and I bought a bike. How old was I? I was like 21, 20. So I bought a bike off Craigslist just so I could, you know, 5 minute commute to work. And there was a day that we were all leaving the studio and it's pouring rain. And Nikki Six had a GT, Bentley GT Coupe was his car. And I had, you know, a 10 minute bike ride ahead of me. It's piss pouring rain. Nikki pulls up beside me, takes a look down, rolls down the window. And I said, hey, Nikki, any chance like I could just throw my bike in the trunk and you can just give me a rip home? And he said, nope, good luck. So he turns left and I turn right and I ride home in the pouring rain. So we weren't close by any means, but we worked together on a day-to-day basis for a couple months. He was super nice to me, super generous, but he was still a rock star and he wasn't going to go out of his way to, keep me dry. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, podcast patrons. Real quick break in the episode here. I want to talk to you about Big Wings Golf Apparel. They've just become the official glove and proud sponsor of us, Leave the Pin Podcast. We all know how important a comfortable glove and good grip are for the golf swing. And like us, you're probably tired of overpaying for gloves at the pro shop right before your round of golf, or getting some crap glove that's overpriced at Golf Galaxy, or pulling something out of your bag that's stiff as a board because you sweated through it and you left it in there for 2 weeks before you played again. Well, thankfully, Big Wings Golf Apparel has the solution. Go visit bigwingsgolf.com before your next round for all your golf glove and apparel needs. Experience unmatched comfort and a perfect grip with these premium Cabretta leather gloves and feel the difference with every swing. Big Wings Golf Apparel, where craftsmanship meets performance. Again, that's bigwingsgolf.com, and you, our listeners, can use code LTP for 10% off your first order. Now, back to the regularly scheduled podcast.
Yeah, I got to ask this. It's just a running joke between my wife and I. Is Mick Mars real?
He is. I've seen him in the flesh. He's a frail, frail man, but he's a one hell of a guitar player, someone I look up to, and I feel so bad about his health issues that, you know, yeah, him unfortunately awful. Retire from the band, but they got a new good replacement in John Five. John Five's a killer guitar player. He's one of Nikki's best friends. But yeah, Mick was I could see why you think that he might be not a real person, an alien from Mars or something. But yeah, Mick, I had the pleasure of meeting him once or twice and he was super nice, but yeah, frail man.
Yeah. Anytime you hear him speak, he's always just so mild mannered, so quiet and stuff like that. Yes. It does suck. And he's a guy that, I mean, aged horribly, obviously because of some medical issues he had, which have been well documented. Yeah. John Five is phenomenal. Played with Manson, toured with GNR a few times, stuff. Great guitar. So that's, it did his own solo work, as well. I think he was with like Power Man 5000 for a bit too, here or there, but that's awesome, dude. All right. So people are going to get pissed at us, right? Cause we're not talking golf. All right, cool. I want to show you something real quick, because this should be near and dear to your heart.
Oh, I love it. That
flag up there. Okay. So that flag says Augusta National Golf Club, members only. You have this great running series on your Instagram, and if people haven't checked it out, go to New Nine Golf on Instagram. Okay. And I'll post that in the show notes and everything, but you are literally and legitimately, I feel, trying to play Augusta National, right? The white whale, the holy grail of golf, a course that even people that don't know golf know about. They know about the Masters once a year. You know, the epicenter of the golf world revolves around Augusta National. So give me a little background on, A, how you kind of came up with that idea, and then B, what's it been like pursuing that idea?
Yeah, so it's crazy how much traction this thing's got. It actually blows my mind. Being a content creator, I write down so many ideas of types of videos that we can do, because I do long form content on YouTube, a lot of club reviews, different stuff. I'm always trying to do something different. Like we talked about earlier, you know, the social media game is so much of a copycat thing. Yes. You can have some things that other people are doing that take off. But what I find with the people that have like blown up and are quite successful is they do something different. So I've had this idea for a long time of trying to play Augusta, and I actually had it written down for a YouTube video. I wanted to do more of like a documentary style, almost like a reality show vibe. Like, could I play Augusta? YouTube videos take a ton of time to edit. Like, if I pump out a 20-minute video, there might be like 4 full days of editing on top of shooting. It's just very time consuming.
And I want to interrupt you right there and just let the people know that's no bullshit whatsoever. Okay, I used to put videos up just of these pods, and it legit would take me like 2-3 hours. I'd get so frustrated. My wife would be like, just stop. No one's watching them anyway. They all just listen to you on podcasts. No one wants to see you. No one wants to see your guest. Just let it go on iTunes or Spotify. And bless her, she was right. I stopped. Dude, I cannot tell you how supportive, but also how understanding I am of YouTubers and the amount of time that goes into the creation, because I tried it. I do not have time for it. I do not have the patience for it. I feel like you do. You're able to sit at poker tables for a very long time. So maybe that, you know, plays into it as well. But good on you, dude, because it is by far one of the most frustrating things I've ever dealt with, like, in this golf space.
It is very incredibly hard. Anyone that thinks they want to start a YouTube channel, is just like one thing after another. It's just a constant learning experience. I have one business partner. His name is Felix. He doesn't like being in front of the camera. He's always behind the camera editing. I'm so blessed that he does all of the editing and filming now. So that's kind of his expertise. I do the in front of the camera stuff. We script together and come up with ideas. And it frees me up to do other things within the business. But he does the majority of shooting and editing. And thank God, because he's a very patient man. But he's very meticulous. And he has an eye for things that, you know, something I might pump out in 2 or 3 hours might take him 12 hours just because he wants to make everything perfect, and I respect it a lot. Anyway, in this Augusta series, trying to come up with it, I had it written down for the longest time. Let's make this YouTube video trying to play Augusta. Maybe we can do multi-part series on YouTube. I was too nervous to commit to the idea because it was so different than any content that we had shot, and I didn't know if it would be successful, because there's nothing worse, as I was mentioned, as a content creator, to put so much time and effort into videos and they just tank. They get 100 views, 200 views. You're like, man, I put like 3 weeks of my life into this video, and for whatever reason, there's just no response. So Instagram creation and TikTok and YouTube shorts, there's much more minimal effort, more or less, because the attention span is less. You know, I'll pump out a 90-second video instead of a 30-minute video. So I thought, let's just test this on Instagram and see if there's any demand for this, see what the response is. So I always knew that the first video I wanted to shoot was me phoning Augusta. I thought it would just be so hilarious. It would be a satire. Obviously, you can't call Augusta and get a tee time. But I was trying to kind of just play that naive angle that, let's start by getting declined, because I know they're not going to tell me that I can play. So that was the first video. The first video I called Augusta. This lady, bless her heart, on the other end of the call was the best little gatekeeper of Augusta. And she said, you know, you have to play with a member. That's the only way that you can play. So then I kind of went through the, you know, what would the steps be to play Augusta? And I started documenting this journey. So that's kind of where the idea came from. I don't know what day we're on now, or so, you know, approaching day 30. I have some videos to post pretty soon, because it's been a while since I gave the people an Augusta update. But it's been a really fun series. It's really helped grow the community. I've been able to talk to such, in you know, awesome people online on Instagram that DM me that, you know, I think everyone wants to play Augusta. So I find that this series is just so relatable, because we all love Augusta. Everyone wants to play it. So I'm trying to win one for the team, just to see if that, you know, a regular golfer from Calgary, Canada, where it's snowing outside, can actually play the course.
Yeah, I like that win one for the team, right? Because when somebody sees you go off and play, I don't know, maybe Banff, or I'm trying to think of Canadian courses, you know, forgive me, that's really what I want to know. Or, you know, or any other big time course, a lot of times there's that jealousy. They're like, man, this dude, look at this man playing all these courses that I'll never be able to get on. But if someone plays Augusta, if someone plays Pine Valley, some of these kind of courses that really kind of live in this urban legend or this lore of the golf realm, like, people are sincerely happy because they know, like, okay, look, man, there's no chance that I could play there. Like, if I see you playing Pebble, or someone, not me, I don't care, but if someone sees you playing Pebble, they're like, oh, I can't believe he's on Pebble. But guess what? You can get on Pebble too. You just got to pay, you know, $2,000 for the night stay and the round and the caddy. But you can't just get on Augusta, right? You can't just get on certain courses out there. So without giving too much away, because obviously you have some videos to post, how close are we currently?
So the biggest video that I had in this the series that kind of went viral was I had a call with Mike Weir.
Yes.
So this was kind of a pivotal moment in the journey. Mike, I had just had this epiphany. I just thought, I was trying to think backwards. That's kind of how I plan my videos. It's like, I start with the end in mind. So if the end in mind is to play Augusta, what would be just like the most picture perfect way that I could script this like a movie? And I thought Mike Weir, Masters champion, Canadian, was on the side. You know, he's in the gates at Magnolia Lane and he's waving towards me, Brandon, come play with me. So then I did what I could to reach out to Mike Weir. Long story short, I was able to get a FaceTime call with him. Mike Weir invited me and my wife to go to a practice round this year at Augusta. So we are going to Augusta. I've been in the Masters lottery for 15 years and I've been declined every single year. So just being able to have the opportunity to go on the Augusta grounds and watch a practice round to me is the biggest win that I could imagine. So the fact that I get to be on the grounds, I'll have the opportunity to talk with some members. From what I've understood is that these members that wear their green jackets are just so proud of the course, so proud of the facility, so proud of the Masters event that they're willing to kind of maybe let their guard down a little bit and talk to the patrons at Augusta. So the fact that we're going there is huge. I really think that the best opportunity I have, and from the people that I've talked to, somehow build a relationship with a member. These members are, they're not normal people. That's why they're members at Augusta, right? They're Jack Nicklaus, they're Bill Gates, they're Warren Buffett. They're the CEO of Ford. They're the CEO of, you know, Toshiba. Like that's it. They're not normal people. So it's going to be a tough task to try to relate to some of these people, to build rapport with some of these people. And, you know, I think if I can just be genuine, be myself, show interest in them and the course, who knows what will happen. Because from what I've understood from people at Augusta, I've probably talked to 10 or 15 people that have played Augusta, is that you can't ask to play Augusta. Even though the series has kind of been a walkway around of, you know, asking people to play Augusta, you really need that phone call. I think the only way to get that phone call is to build a relationship with a member. So I think I'll have that opportunity come April when we actually get to go to the grounds.
First off, shout out Mike Weir. He's a great dude. Had him on the pod during the U.S. Senior Open that was here. Gave me more than enough time. Did some videos with him. Phenomenal guy. Like, literally top tier. Helps that he's Canadian, right? That's a great connection. I can tell you this. Humble brag. Been to Augusta 3 times now, okay? Once before the podcast, 2 with the podcast. My advice to you, I'm going to help you out here.
Love it.
You're going to see a ton of the green jackets strolling around, okay? They're everywhere. You're going to see some on the tee boxes. Don't bother them. Those guys are actually doing stuff. But in between passing, there's going to be times, and I've had the experience, and I've spoken to numerous ones just by starting up a conversation because, like you said, they're not normal people, but guess what? They're normal people in the vein that they're a golf nerd just like you and I. And the second that you compliment the course, I don't care if they're worth $100 billion. Their eyes light up. Like, they want to hear your golf story. Now, part of that might be an act during that week, you know? But the people that I've spoken to there have genuinely ask legitimate questions. They're not rushing you. They're not trying to get you out of their hair. One time I had a guy tell me, he said, I hate to rush you because I need to go meet Nick Faldo on the putting green. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. I was like, dude, like, go do you. That's awesome. But you're going to find yourself just wandering around there throughout the course of the day within, you know, 10 or 15 people in a small area, and there's going to be a green jacket, right? And most people, normal people that walk around Augusta, are going to look at them like they're some type of god, you know? And they won't speak to them or anything. Just talk to them, dude. Because, like, I don't care about titles or anything. Like, that stuff means nothing in my life, right? I only care, like, if you're a good person, and I want to meet people and interact. And I can tell you what, you know, 100%, and, you know, my sons will back me up. The people I've gone with to Augusta will back you up. Just talk to them, you know.
That's
unfortunately,
awesome.
Yes, you can't ask. You can't ask. Say, hey, any way you can get me on. They'll, as soon as that comes up, like, you know, the wall comes up.
as well. But they are so down to earth and so low key, probably only during that week. You know, let's be honest. But give them a compliment, say something witty, and they will just one of them introduced me to Gary Player. Gary Player is one of my favorite golfers of all time for the good and the bad that, you know, he has and the controversy that surrounds him. I've just always loved his approach to fitness in the game. And was talking with one, and Gary Player was over there. He's like, hold on, I'll introduce you. I spoke with Gary Player for like, you know, 10 minutes. He's punching me in the stomach to see my, you know, my abs. It was amazing, dude. Like, you never know what can happen unless you open up your mouth and talk to people. So just talk to him. That's my advice.
That's so cool. I appreciate you saying that. That's awesome. I'll definitely take that advice.
And I would say something. I would be like, hey, you got Instagram? Because I got a pretty cool thing going on right now with it.
Like it. I'll bring in a little QR code they can scan, maybe.
They shouldn't have their phones out there, but guess what? They do. I've seen
it. Yeah, I believe it.
So what projects do you have coming up aside from, you know, the Augusta series, let's call it?
Yeah, I got a ton going on. Like, something really big on our YouTube channel is golf product reviews. So there's a ton of new drivers coming out. We're getting ready for a new gear cycle. So there's a bunch of new stuff that we're working on today or working on right now. Today I was filming a video where I actually fit my dad for clubs. So my dad hasn't had new clubs in 18 years. So it's been a long time since he has had new clubs. So it was really fun to test his clubs with the G5s, if anyone remember those. Yeah. Came out in 2004, 2005.
Yes.
So he was hitting ping G5s, and we got to test some of the games, like the brand new stuff. Like, he ended up picking the new TaylorMade QI irons, and to just see the advancements of technology, that was really cool. So we do a ton of that stuff. I have a trip coming up to Waste Management. So I am going to an event with Ricky Fowler. So I'm not sure what type of content opportunities are there, but we're going to bring the camera and see what we can get out of that. That's always fun. And then just some other golf stuff. Like, I'm always talking to golf courses, seeing what I can do to help promote them and help me do like some course vlog stuff. So there's a lot of stuff going on for course vlogs, product reviews, and then this Augusta series. This is who knows, I might be shooting like day 500 in a couple years from now. Who knows how long it's going to take, but that's kind of what we got on the plate. We got some other stuff in the background that we'll talk or we'll release a bit later coming into the spring, but yeah, we got our hands full, man. It is never ending. It's a full-time job for sure.
You talked about going to the PGA show. Talk to me about that a little bit. I always contend that it's just like this biggest clusterfuck out there with, you know, brands that these guys or women pump thousands of dollars into these corny ideas that are never going to amount to anything. And really the only companies out there that are making a dent whatsoever are the big companies showing off their new stuff. What was your experience like down there? Were you there more as a fan to sample stuff, or were you there doing content while you were down in Florida?
So I kind of mixed business and pleasure on this trip. I went to the demo day, which was outside, which is basically all the manufacturers are on this big range. It's cool. It's at Orange County National. It's basically a driving range. It's a big 360-degree circle, and it's about 450 yards across each way. So basically every manufacturer has their new clubs, their new shafts, their new this, that. But it's because I do product reviews, I'd seen everything already before. It was okay. It wasn't like the coolest thing that I'd ever seen. And then the conference center, it's the biggest conference you've ever seen. Like, it just goes for miles. The booths, there's over 1,000 booths. It's incredibly overwhelming. I had set aside 2 half days, and I probably only got through maybe 20% of the show. So I had some booths that I had already planned to stop and see. But if you wanted to like look at every single booth, it would take you like a full week of like 6-hour days to see everything. So on top of that, I brought some buddies with me because I had some buddies that were itching to get out of the cold and go golf. So we kind of went to the show for half day, we went to go golf. So we mixed business and pleasure. If I was to do it again, in my opinion, there wasn't a huge content opportunity. Yeah. I think everyone kind of makes the same type of video, and we just couldn't really come up with something. We didn't have the time to make a video on, you know, something different and unique. We got halfway through filming a video. We were trying to find the most expensive products in the golf show. I thought that would be kind of cool. Like, what are the most expensive things that we can find on the show? And the more that we did it, everyone has fucking expensive stuff in the show. Sorry for swearing. I don't know if you can swear on your podcast.
You can do whatever.
But it's like, there was a company that had a golf cart, and they pimped out this golf cart and put like a monster truck chassis, monster truck wheels on this thing on the golf cart. And the guy said he sold it for $100,000. And I'm like, who is buying this $100,000 monster truck golf cart? Like, it was the most, like, it was like the least practical thing that I had ever, ever seen. It was just like, you see really weird stuff like that. There was like some art memorabilia. They had these really, there was this booth that had these Tiger Woods like paintings that were signed, one of one that were selling for like $50,000. Another one sold for $100,000 or something. So the more that I did it, the more everyone had like just expensive stuff. So it was, I thought it was a cool idea until I started filming it. And it was just like, in my opinion, it wasn't like the coolest content opportunity, I didn't think.
Yeah, I kind of, that's how I kind of relay it to people. Like, I think it's almost like a one and done. Like, it's an experience when you go and you see it, it's awesome. But then after that, it's like, I don't know if I want to go back again. You know, it's just going to be the same crap year after year. And quite honestly, I'd love to see a receipt of that thing being sold for $100,000. A lot of people love to lie about stuff in golf, you know?
Yeah, you're not wrong. Looking at it, I could maybe see it, but I'm like, I don't, anyway. But it is funny that you say that, like the one and done. I was talking to some bigger content creators. I was talking to Peter Finch. Peter Finch is like one of the godfathers of golf product reviews on YouTube. And he was saying, yeah, he's like, I'm kind of golf showed out. In my opinion, it was incredible for networking, just to meet the people within the industry, especially with what we do, to meet potential sponsors or that type of stuff. Like, that was really worthwhile. I could have spent more time networking. There's after parties galore that someone always has a bunch of booths at like Top Golf. Like, hey, come on by and do stuff. You know, they all want something in return, of course. But it's with content creators, you're trying to create that win-win between, you know, monetizing your audience and then the product wants to be sold. You're trying to kind of create a win-win for the both of you. But I talked to some amazing people down there, and a lot of people had, you know, connections to Augusta. So I made at least one, if not two, connections that was worth the trip. So that was, I would say, the most valuable part of being down there.
You're a gambler, you like to handicap things, I'm assuming. What do you think your success rate might be for playing Augusta National? I kind of have an idea in my head just from being around the game for so long, but you know, you seem to be making some inroads. So if you had to give a percentage of, you know, I've got a 20% shot at actually doing it, what are your numbers looking like right now off the top of your head?
Man, it's like, it's so hard. Like, it is so, so hard. And I think the biggest issue that with what I'm doing as far as broadcasting it is that from the people that I've talked to that are close to Augusta, they don't really like that.
Yeah.
Augusta National is an escape for these members, where these members can, you know, leave their, you know, Fortune 500 company. They can go here, change in the locker room, and now no one knows what they're doing. They're enjoying their free time. So I don't think they're super keen with welcoming someone like me that wants to try to document my experience. I know that you can't film out there, so right. I haven't even thought of like what I could create other than a story, like talking to my audience, but I talk to people that have had their rounds filmed out there, but if they posted it, they know that they'll never be welcome back, right? So the last thing I want to do is jeopardize my opportunity to actually play there if it presents itself. I would say, like, honestly, like, I have probably a 5% chance. And I think when I started this journey, I had a 0% chance, right? So I'd say that my odds have improved. But I just think with the ways of how you need to play that it's freaking hard, man. And I think that's the whole point of the process, is that it's not supposed to be easy. So I'm trying to explore all these different avenues to try to finagle my way onto the course. But I have nothing but respect for the course. I love the course. You know, I respect all of the history, the tradition, and I get it. So it's, you know, I don't want to jeopardize what I'm trying to do, because I'm not trying to make fun of Augusta. I'm not trying to put them in a bad light at all. And in fact, I'm trying to do the opposite. But I'd say there's a chance. It's just a small, it's a small percentage.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I agree as well. I didn't know if, you know, if you had this grandiose thing like, nah, I'm 100% getting on. But I think that's it's a great point that you make, right? It is a spot where people can go and gain anonymity. Right. In a world where everyone knows and is able to track their every move, and people want to, you know, people want to keep that up. What I kind of envision, and you tell me if this has happened or not, is other courses almost reaching out to you and be like, hey, you know, Brandon, I saw you do this. You're probably not going to get on, but we'd love to host you at our place. Have you gotten any of that yet?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. So when I was down in Orlando at the PGA show, there's a new Cabot Citrus Farms that just opened. I just posted a front nine this morning.
Your video. Yep, yep.
So Cabot, this is actually the first course in the United States. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Cabot Properties. Cabot's most famous course is Cabot Cliffs in Nova Scotia,
right? Canada. All right.
So I think it's in like maybe the top, it's at least in the top 50 in the world. It usually ranks number one in Canada. They're right on the cliffs of the water. Like if you've seen like Game of Thrones, you know, it's kind of like that in a golf course. So they invited me out. They just opened. They kind of gave me a sneak peek and welcomed me and my buddies out there. So that was awesome. And the first thing the head pro says is, "So you playing Augusta?" So it's making its ways around. And yeah, I'm not going to reap the rewards from doing that. So, and I love golf courses. I love traveling. It kind of ties everything together. But I have had that. I've also had some other members of big courses offer me reciprocals. I posted this in some of my videos that a member at Cyprus had reached out to me and said, was it Cyprus? I'm trying to think of what course it was. Anyway, someone else at Pine Valley too had said, hey, if you want to bring someone out to Pine Valley, we can go play out there and go play Augusta. But like, I'm sure these members already have that reciprocal. There's no way there's a member of Augusta being like, I wonder how I can get on Pine Valley, right? But yeah, at least those opportunities have been offered to me. So that's been pretty cool. But yeah, I love when these golf courses reach out. That's been a really cool part of the journey.
Maybe an unpopular opinion, but I would 100%, 100 out of 100 times, take Cypress Point over Augusta any day of the week. That's just me.
A lot of people have said that.
Yeah, proximity to the ocean, just seeing the architecture out there, just the layout. You know, maybe it's because I've walked Augusta a bunch, and it is phenomenal. Like, it's everything it's cracked up to be. When people tell you, even with, like, 4K HD TVs, you can't understand the terrain, the topography, they're right. You're not going to find anything out of place. And if something is out of place, the next time you pass it, it's not going to be out of place again. So it is this Disney World for golf. But just in terms of like what I like and what kind of hits my soul in golf, I'd take Cypress Point any day of the week.
I'd still take Augusta. It's Augusta, man. It's Augusta.
For sure. For sure. So one of the other things I want to ask you is, you're a scratch golfer. You're a very good golfer. You post a ton of kind of me versus this course, but not from 6,500 yards, 7,500 yards, you know, 7,200 yards, 6,950, you know, from some distances that a lot of average golfers associate with, you know, a professional game. Did you play collegiately at all anywhere?
No, I was a high-level hockey player. I played high-level hockey forever, and golf was just kind of like that fun escape in the summer to do something different. But I think a lot of the muscle weight transfer in hockey is very similar to golf, so I always hit it like really far. I was able to hit the ball far. It wasn't until I started – I took golf maybe serious when I was like maybe like a 7-cap, 8-cap, and that's from like no lessons, no instruction, no nothing. I had some buddies that are like, man, if you like got some lessons, like you could be pretty decent. So it was over like just under 2 years, I kind of went from like a 7 to scratch, all just from lessons. Like I would say it's like relatively teachable, and I was able to learn more about the golf swing and the mechanics, but I never played college golf. I play a lot of amateur stuff still. I compete in like local Alberta, Western Canada events. And I do it just more so just to test my game. I've never won anything. I've never placed really high other than like, you know, club events. I've won a couple of club events and stuff like that, but it's always just fun to test your game against other guys that take the game serious. So I love the competitiveness, but I find it so easy to blow up in tournament rounds. Like, you know, I'll play a practice round. I'll shoot a smooth 69, 68, like can't miss a fairway, can't miss a putt. I go play the tournament round the very next day and I can't hit a fairway and I can't drop a putt and I can't chip. It's just like, golf's one of those games. I'm sure we've all been there, that you play so good one day, you're like, man, if I just like practice, I could be on tour. Yeah. And then the next day you shoot like 105. You're like, okay, that was humbling.
It's what keeps us coming back, right? Is the ability not to be able to conquer the game.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so funny. It's like, you'll never master it. Like even the best players in the world are still changing stuff. So that's what's so cool. It's like golf has always sort of, for all of us, but it's that taste when something good happens, you're like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah phenomenal. Brandon, look, it's been amazing. Like, I've loved the topics we've covered. I want to be super respectful of your time, so I want to get you out of here on this one last question, if you don't mind. If you had to boil down all your experiences within New Nine Golf, New Nine Media, you know, the company you created,
kind of being content creator, whether it be YouTube or Instagram or anything, is there one event or one happening that occurred to you that you were just kind of like, how in the world did I get here to deserve this?
Totally.
In relation
totally,
to golf.
Totally. 100%. Yeah. So last year I was invited by Cobra Puma to an event in Miami Beach. So Cobra had started watching some of my golf product reviews and Cobra was ranking really high. So they reached out to me and they said, we're having this launch party for a brand called Palm Tree Crew. So Ricky Fowler and the DJ Kygo are really close and they collaborated on this clothing brand through Puma called Palm Tree Crew. So they're doing a launch party in Miami. So they flew me down there to Miami to golf in this golf tournament. I get there and the first people I see are like Johnny Damon, like Hall of Fame baseball player, Zach Wilson, quarterback for the Jets, Ricky Fowler, of course, Kygo, Kyle Berkshire from Cobra, the guys from Eastside Sports were there, or Eastside Golf. There was like Paris Helsinki who was there. There was just so many people that like I'd always watched on Instagram and, you know, thought you knew them, but now they're like here in person all in one event. Dave Portnoy was there. So I got to talk with Dave Portnoy really quick. And it was just like, these were all like A-listers and they're all just like so accomplished in everything that they do. And I'm this small little Canadian YouTuber and I'm, you know, on the same driving range as them, warming up and hitting the ball beside them. So that was like a really cool event where I'm just like, wow, like I didn't feel like we had accomplished much at New Nine. We're still growing, but just to be there, to be invited by someone as big as Cobra Puma was just one of those real surreal weekends. So that was really cool.
Awesome. Very, very cool. Before we kind of get out of here, give them all the socials, where to find you, how they can interact with you, how they can watch your videos and kind of, you know, tag along in this journey.
Yeah, so my socials are at New Nine Golf. So it's spelled out N-E-W-N-I-N-E, New Nine Golf. You can look me up on Instagram, YouTube. I just started TikTok. I started sharing a lot of my stuff to TikTok, so trying to hop on to that. YouTube, you can send me an email. You can send me a DM. I respond to all my DMs, comment section. Like, if you want to talk golf, hit me up.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Brandon, thank you so much. I know personally, I can't wait to see some of the new videos leading up to Augusta and everything else that you've got planned in the future.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the Augusta intel. I'm definitely going to take you up on those tips and talk to the members. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, love it. All right, people. So either get busy golfing or get busy dying.
Swannies is here with a fresh take. Performance-based materials are a given these days. But if you're looking for the stretchiest and most lightweight pieces that deliver a look that says I'm here for a good time, take a walk on the Swannies side. With fabric sourced from recycled plastics and design sourced from our very own Weekend Warriors, Swannies is looking out for both our planet and those that need a little style to boost their drive another 15 yards. Premium looks from top to bottom at swannies.com.
Absolutely. It depends on the COR of the flagstick. So the coefficient restitution of the flagstick. In US Opens, I'll take it out. And every other tour event, when it's fiberglass, I'll leave it in and bounce that ball against the flagstick if I need to.